This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
First of all, we've got a brilliant new theme for 2020 after last year's wonderful exercise in reading the Bible. This year, our theme is Follow Me. If you'd like to find in your Bibles Matthew chapter 16. We tend to use a New International Version, which is the, I think, the bluey one with a picture of a mountain on the top. Or you may have a device with it on there. Please do look up the scripture and not your Facebook feed. Just for the next half an hour, let's focus on what the Lord is saying to us. Matthew, which is in the New Testament, it's the beginning of the New Testament. If you're not familiar with the Bible, there's the Old Testament, which is the big bit towards the left, and then there's a smaller bit towards the right, which is the New. And at the beginning of that are the four biographies about Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew is the first one. We're looking at chapter 16, verse 24. This is going to become a bit of a verse for us this year, and Liz and Alison, who are preaching over the next couple of weeks, are going to be expanding on this a bit more. But I just want to open it up to start with. Verse 24, chapter 16 of Matthew. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone get in exchange for their soul?" In 1987, Alison and I were living in Nottingham. I know 1987 sounds an awful long time ago for some of you. In fact, it actually isn't in the chronology for some of you. We were living in Nottingham. I was building a small business. Alison had given up teaching and was working alongside me. But we'd spent the previous couple of years, 2 or 3 years, investigating the vineyard. It wasn't in the UK at the time. We'd been visiting the States and we'd been looking into vineyard. And to cut a long story short, we felt God had called us to the vineyard, although there were no vineyards in the country at the time. Then in 1987, we came across John and Eleanor Mumford. Some of you will know them. They'd just returned from the USA to plant the first vineyard in southwest London. And the Holy Spirit made it very clear to us that we were to follow them and help them establish the vineyard in the UK. So we got out a map of southwest London. In those days, we had paper maps. We really did. We didn't have Google Maps or any other helpful devices. We took out a paper map. I vividly remember we took a compass and we drew a circle 5 miles around their house in Arange Park in southwest London. Because we knew we needed to get close to them. And we worked out which was the least expensive area. We were moving from Nottingham to London. That's not a good economic move. And we bought a terraced house in a place called New Malden, which is about 3.5 miles from their house. I closed my business in Nottingham. We started a new one working from home in London. We relocated along with, of course, a newborn Josh. We always move when we've just got a baby. We moved there. There were only 10 of us to start with, but the church grew rapidly. We went to every meeting. We went to every training opportunity. We listened to every word. We went forward for prayer whenever we could. We served wherever we were put. We watched the way John and Lennon raised their children. We watched their work ethic. We tried to model ourselves on them. And as soon as we could, we then started to do the stuff. That's one of the phrases we use, do the stuff. What they taught us, praying for the sick, casting out demons, feeding the hungry, caring for people, sharing our faith, discipling those around us. And eventually, that meant to move back to Leeds and to plant a church here. And then in due course, planting out other churches from here. We moved so that we could be with the Mumfords and involved in their fledgling church plant. We tried to become like them, learning from them, modeling our lives on theirs. And we set out to do what they did. Now, I'm not trying to big us up. The Mumfords were not perfect at all and made mistakes, and so have we, of course. What I'm trying to illustrate is what following, what Jesus says here, if you want to be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me, what following looks like. And in the New Testament times, It was modeled around this structure of being with, becoming like, and doing the same thing. And we will learn what that means when you decide to follow Jesus. That's our theme for the year. Not deciding to follow the Mumfords, not deciding to follow Alison and me, following Jesus. Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And then he reached out his hand to the most unlikely suspects. If you read back through the previous chapter, the context is that one that doesn't cast the disciples in a great deal of glory, has to be said. He had rebuked Peter just before that. But he reached out and he said, follow me. They weren't qualified, they weren't ready, but Jesus chose them. And they spent the next 3 years close beside him as apprentices, becoming disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, followers of the way, learning to follow. Now, when Jesus talks in this verse and in other verses like this around the Gospels about following him, he uses a couple of different ideas in there. One is the idea of you are my disciple. It's like, almost like a title. This is who you are, an identity. But another is positional, in that he says, follow me, come with me, take up a position behind me, walking in my footsteps. He uses two phrases used often in the same sentence and often in exchange for each other. And this passage we just read, which says, whoever wants to be my disciple, in most of the translations, or in many other translations, it translates as, if you not want to be my disciple, but if you want to come after me, come behind me. Or another translation is, if you want to follow me. So it's an invitation to fall in, follow, come with, shadow, tag along with. And it would be understood as an invitation to discipleship. A long-term apprenticeship to somebody whereby you adopt their lifestyle and practice and beliefs. The disciples were first known, they weren't known as Christians, they were known as followers of the way. The way being a body of teaching and a model of life that Jesus gave. Followers of the way, his manners for life, as they say. Only later did they become described as Christians, people who were associated with Christ, Christ partisans. So, Christian means disciple, means follower of Jesus Christ. Those of you who claim to follow Jesus, you're a Christian, you're a disciple. It's all part of the same thing. You can't be a Christian without being a disciple. You can't be a follower of Jesus without being a disciple or a Christian. You get the drift. If you're not somebody who follows Jesus, I encourage you to look into it carefully. He's wonderful, and it's a life worth following. The best life ever. So over the course of this year, we're going to break this down into three broad phases. The being with Jesus, the becoming like Jesus, the doing what Jesus did. And the beginning of the year, we're going to be looking at the being with Jesus. So when you feel compelled to follow someone, what do you do? What do you do? It's much more than just clicking on the like button on their social media status. It's more than listening to Jesus podcasts. Everybody does that. Following as a disciple involves changing your life, brothers and sisters. It involves your changing your lifestyle so that you can gain proximity. Alice and I moved 200 miles or 180 miles to London to be close to John and Eleanor. You have to change your life to be close to Jesus. And then we're going to switch to becoming like Jesus. What does that mean? And we're going to examine what happens when you do spend time with him. What difference does it make when you hang out with somebody you've chosen to follow? And then finally, as we head towards the end of the year, whoa, David, it's only January the 5th, I know. But eventually, we will be turning our attention towards learning to do what Jesus did. Ha-ha, you look forward to that bit. Although we'll do it now as well. It's going to be a really exciting theme. But here's a spoiler alert. This will not be easy. This will not be a walk in the park. If you want to try and change and become more like Jesus and you don't like challenge and you don't like discomfort, I commend a couple of good books to you and a therapist. We'll build some resources on the website, so that you'll be able to go to that section of the website, and there'll be books and audios that you can listen to, and some spiritual formation tools, all sorts of useful things. The small groups will be fed a continual diet of suggestions of ways that you could take what we're learning on Sundays and bed it down into your small group thinking and discussion and contemplation and prayer. And we have something for you. Now, then, I'm not charging you any money for this. No, not even a pound. I'm a Yorkshireman, and yet not even a pound. It's free of charge. 100 of these were taken last week by the guys who came last week. We've got another 100 over there, so feel free to pick one up at the end of the service and take one. This is a booklet that says How to Spend Time with Jesus, which actually is a really interesting question. How do you do that? What's the practice? And it's just a really well-written, very straightforward, step-by-step instruction as to how to get good at spending time with Jesus. I commend it to you. I think if we all started using that, it would be a great start to this theme and this series. So follow me is our theme for 2020. Okay, got that? Good. It's going to be great.